Good morning, friends. My name is Austin. I'm one of the pastors here. And this, we're starting our summer series called Summer in the Psalms, where we are going to just look through a series of different psalms as a way to behold the story of God, to behold the King of Kings and the God that we often don't always hear about or sometimes know how to interact with. But as we look through the Psalms, we'll see an intimate picture of what it looks like for his disciples, for people who are his children, to follow him. And so this morning, as we start this series, we always want to say that if you're new to Pine Lake, coming to church, our discipleship has a practice and a rhythm that's really threefold. And we say this each week because it's a reminder that we often learn things once, but we need to be reminded always, especially as we go about our days, of what it looks like to continue to be disciples and apprentices of Jesus. And so for us at Pine Lake, that looks like threefold, is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this morning, I wanted to let you know that back when I was 15, I got into a little bit of trouble. And if you've ever gotten into a little trouble, there's this desire of what you really want to happen. And especially if you are a follower of Jesus, you start to like dream of what Jesus could be and what you want him to be and what he actually is. And this happened to me. I was 15. I had been driving since I was 12 on our family ranch. Been driving a tractor, been driving a truck. Yes, I'm from Texas. Yes, that's kind of like a stereotype, right? And I did ride horses to school. Yes, that is true. But I had been driving, and so, but all these things are automatics. And my brother, who's 4 years older than me, 12 years old, gets a manual transmission for the first time, and I was enamored at this thing. And as a, you know, inquisitive and curious 12-year-old, I would sneak out late or when my parents weren't home and my brother wasn't home, I'd grab the keys and then I'd go in there and I'd pretend like I'm race car driving and I would shift through the gears, right? Like I'd learn to use a clutch, shift gears and imagination. It's the same thing that kids did when it's like Michael Jordan. It's like 3, 2, 1, and you want to make the game-winning shot. I was like racing. And then that wasn't enough for me. What would it look like if you started the car? How do you start it, right? Manual transmission, you need to hold the clutch in, you start it, and then you gotta make sure you have it in neutral, right? And so you get through there, and then you like rev it, you know that sound? And you're like, oh, sweet. And so like, I was like, oh, this is good. And that only lasted for maybe a couple of weeks, right? Then like, it wore off, and you're like, oh, that's no big deal. And then you had this thought of like, what if I could move it out of the driveway? Manual transmission, you gotta get in reverse. And you gotta learn that close touch, feel of half and half and kinda get that in gear. Don't kill it. I killed it a lot of times. And then I got it out and then back in, out and back in. This is awesome, amazing. And then, you know, after a couple weeks, that wasn't enough. What if I got it out of the neighborhood? This is sweet. So I would wait till everybody's gone, so my brother was gone and family was gone, and I would, start to drive it around the neighborhood a little bit. And then that was like enough, and I was like, oh, sweet, this was getting really good, and I was getting used to it, getting really confident. And what happens when you get really confident? Mistakes happen. One of the things that our parents taught us when you're driving a manual transmission is always to leave it in gear. Because if you're at a hill, you want to leave it in gear. It's in case the brake fails. In case the emergency brake fails, you're in gear, and it's not going to go anywhere. And so I hadn't been thinking about this, and all of a sudden I start the car, it's parked, I'm ready, I start to look behind me, I let the clutch out, and the car lurches forward into the garage. That song, "Oh Lord, how I need you now," that was my prayer, and I was like, Lord, I want you to be a miracle worker right now. Lord, if somehow we can reverse time for about 5 seconds and make this all right. And the really reality is we talk about the Psalms, and we're going to be reading into Psalm 23. There's a phrase right at the beginning, is that a shepherd is the guide for us. And a shepherd might not be what you want, but is what you desperately need. In that moment, I didn't want a shepherd. I wanted a miracle worker. But what a shepherd is what I needed in that moment. And so if you want to turn with me to chapter 23 of the Psalms, we're going to read that together. Whether you have a physical or digital Bible, I encourage you to look at it, because we'll be jumping around, but we're going to read this whole thing together. And this is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, or through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, would you pray with me? And as we pray together, I want to invite you to pray. We're going to create some space for you to pray, because this is not about me praying for us, but for us beseeching the Holy Spirit. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see you? Would you give us ears to hear you this morning? Would you give us a mind open to receive your word? And would you give us a heart that is open to be transformed in the people that you are creating us to be? We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey kids, I have a question for you in this kind of battle between what you want and you need. I was thinking about it, and as a parent, we struggle with this because sometimes, like, what you want is what you want, but what you need is never what you want from me. And I thought about this as I went. Yeah. I feel like this is what you need. You all need a little vegetables, even teenagers. These are called carrots, teenagers. They're vegetables. They're really good for you. They grow in the ground. You pull them up, and they behave. But I think what you want is this. Yes. I think what you want is this. I can smell this. Oh, the difference between what I want and what I need is like, hey kids, afterwards, you've got like a little coloring sheets and stuff like that. Come up here and we might give you a little bit of what you need and maybe a little bit of what you want. But I also thought in that moment when I was sitting in the car and my car was in the garage, I said, man, Lord, what I want right now is so different than what I need. Like, I want you to be able to miraculously put back together, like a wizard, the panels that had been broken. Like, I pulled back and it was decimated. And I did not get what I want. The Lord did not put together everything back. But in that moment, I thought, like, Lord, oh, I really have been praying. I don't know if I've, like, when you're in situations like that where you pray harder, when you want something really bad from the Lord, but you know that you need something different. You know what's about to come is different, but you don't want to receive that which you need. You just want to get what you want. And that's sometimes what we treat God like. As a shepherd, he is not going to give us always what we want. He's going to give us what we need. And that's what what David is saying in the psalm, like right at the beginning, is the Lord is my shepherd. And in a translation in the ESV says, I shall not want. I shall not want. And this is really interesting because two things are happening here. It is the Lord is my shepherd. It's saying, like, this is mine. I am right now, it's a personal decision that I shall not want. Or no, the Lord is my shepherd. And then I'm also making a decision that I shall not want. Not based on just some kind of like an idea, but because the Lord is my shepherd, because the Lord is guiding us, I shall not want. Or in another translation, I have everything I need. If the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I could possibly need. Like, think about that right now. If you proclaim that Jesus is the shepherd of your life, you both don't need, you have everything you need, and you shall not want anything. Like, this is what, as disciples of Jesus, when we proclaim that the Lord is our both Savior and Lord, we are making a personal decision. An internal conviction and character is settling in us, and that we have decided that the Lord, with him as our shepherd, that we don't have anything that he hasn't given to us. We have all that we need. We have cognitively and decided internally, we have made a decision that he is the provider of everything we need, and anything that he doesn't give us, I don't want. And not only is a decision made, but then it's a declaration. He's not only making a decision internally, but he is declaring by not only writing it for thousands of generations to have, but it's a model for us is declare that not only is this internal reality and conviction and character being formed internally, but now externally I am going to live in reflection to what is happening inside. I shall not want. I have all that I need. So that when we go into our day to day, when we leave a place from here where we are focused on becoming more like disciples of Jesus and becoming more like apprentices of Jesus, where we're shaping our lives towards Jesus and towards nothing else, when we go into and we make a declaration to the world, is when you want to sell me a different bill of goods that I don't have enough and I need more, I am going to live a different story. He is my shepherd. And so when I live in this state, I'm not in a perpetual state of wanting more, and then reflecting on people saying, I don't have all that I need. Now, get me wrong, like there are times when we need from the Lord. But this decision and declaration is for your lifetime, not just your day. Like this decision and declaration is that says from now on, for the rest of my life, I am going to live not in a relationship with Jesus based on the day to day, but on a proclamation that he is now my shepherd. And from the rest of the days, this is going to be my story. As a God who provides all my needs, and I don't have this desire to fulfill my own life with the things that I think I'm not getting from Jesus. What would that change in our discipleship if we stopped saying that God only gives us so much and we are to fill the rest? And in this declaration, there's a proclamation that David is saying is that I now know my relationship with the Lord. I'm in a right relationship. The sheep, I am a sheep and I follow and the shepherd leads. It's this relationship that now who is the follower and who is the leader. We call this as apprentices of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, that as disciples of Jesus, we are the disciple and Jesus is our rabbi. We are apprentices under Jesus, that Jesus is the master and we are apprentices. We are apprenticing our life. We have a right relationship with Jesus. That even in the disciples who know and watch Jesus ascend into the sky, they did not just then jump into the seat of the master, but they were still his disciples. Every day they were proclaimed as people of the way of Jesus. That they were his disciples. They were not the masters, they were the disciples. They had this right relationship with Jesus. But here's the thing, in the middle of that text, if he is your shepherd, if you are a disciple and apprentice of Jesus, sometimes the shepherd is going to lead you places you don't want to go. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the darkest valley, I will fear no evil for you are with me. Your rod and the staff, they comfort me. And also you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Like sometimes as a shepherd, we're saying like, I want you to lead us all into green pastures and to still waters. That sounds like a life that I want to have. And that actually sounds like an attractive life that when you go out into the world and you say, hey, what is life with Jesus like? Oh, green pastures and still waters. And people be like, yes. In a chaos of life, that's what I want. But then you go on into reading, and it's like, oh, no. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So do you. But this is what's different between you and me. When I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I have a shepherd who is with me, who comforts me in the middle of a place where I am scared and trembling. His rod and his staff isn't something to beat me with, but it is to remind me that your presence is right there. And even though when I'm hungry and thirsty and the only seat left is at the table of my enemies, I will sit with the Lord who has anointed with me with oil and that says, that one is mine. You cannot have him. This is what happens when you go out into the world is that when you are defined and you have decided and declare that you are Jesus's and that he's your shepherd. You are anointed, and when you walk into the world and while evil forces, principalities are after you, Jesus is declaring to all those that we can't see and can't see, this one is mine. You can't have him. You can't have her. This one is mine. And so important with this is to remind us is that even in the moment where you are in the valley of the shadow of death, when you are in the presence of the enemy, it is something that you don't arrive and stay in, but it is a place that you come to and you go through. It is a place that you sit at and then you leave. It is not the destination, but a place from which you are traveling from. This is why the Lord is his shepherd. And it comes back to saying, I have everything I want and need, because even in these dark places, I have everything I need. I have a rod and a staff that reminds me that I am in the presence of the Most Holy God. The one who created all things and who is in control of all things is mine. And he says to me, when I am in the presence of a dark season of life, when everybody around me wants my head, he proclaims that that one's mine, and you cannot do anything outside of what I desire for them. This is the shepherd. This is what happens when we go through the valley and we sit at the tables. This is what happens with we jump into the deep end. This is deeper faith. This is deeper trust. This is deeper perseverance. This is deeper reliance. This is deeper faith in the shallow end. That this is the deeper place that goes beyond the green pastures, beyond the quiet waters of your life, that you know when you're going through these places, and you have and you will. Here's the thing. Let me say something to you right now. And I heard this, a friend say this to me. He goes, you might have been through in a wilderness in the past. You might be in one now. And I guarantee you will be in one in the future. And you have to decide if you're going with a shepherd or you're going alone. Because the reality is that we are prone to wonder. I love that hymn. We are prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. But the God of all creation is the one who is found. When I pulled the car out of the garage, I thought my life was over. And when you think something so concrete, your body reacts before you know what you're doing, before common sense can make it. Like, I'm a part of this family and I believe that my life is over with this family. So I run. I leave the car still halfway in the garage. That was dumb, right? Like, yeah, the evidence is in there, and I run. And in Texas, we have these storm sewers that collect rainwater and move it out so that we don't flood. And I go under there and I deposit myself under one of the bridges and the overpasses. And I, in my head, declare that this is going to be my home forever and ever. This is what I deserve. That I'm not worthy enough. But I wasn't smart enough to go far. And so my mom, knowing me really well, knowing where I had played and where as a young boy that I thought was really cool and interesting, found me. She came walking up and I saw her coming, but I wanted to act like, hey, you don't know this kid. Or you don't want to be associated with this kid anymore. You've seen the evidence. It's clear. I was the only one home. My mom came by, sat down, didn't yell from across the way to come back. She came and sat down. And she asked me the classic question you ask your kids, what happened? So I told her. And then I confessed all the things that I had been doing this for a long time. And she goes, I know. As parents always do, kids, you're not clever. You're not smart. You're not a trickster. Our parents know. We know. And she asked me, like, why? And then she didn't ask me, like, so much continuation of why, but why? Why do you feel like you deserve here? And I said, well, this is unforgivable. This is thousands of dollars to fix this garage. I don't have $1,000. I can't repay you. What I didn't know, what my mom was doing, was a direct correlation to the relationship she had with Jesus and the Jesus that she read in scriptures about the shepherd who goes and finds the lost. This is the Jesus that she read about and she enacted and she lived in. It says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. Suppose you have 100 sheep and you lose one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country to go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he'll joyfully put it on his shoulders and he gets home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together to rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. This is the shepherd who leaves to find. The thing is, like, you might not want a shepherd in your life, but this is why you desperately need, where there's a moment when you want to feel like you are alone and you can wallow in your own self-pity and the problems that you have with your life, that you want to be alone, but you have a shepherd who loves you too much to leave you alone, to allow your thoughts and your actions to live in opposition to the reality of who you are and whose you are. He comes and finds you. And he puts aside all the thoughts and the actions in your head to say, that is a false story that you are telling yourself. Now let me tell you the truth. I know you don't want to walk anymore, but let me put you on my shoulders and carry you. And then as I carry you and continue to care for you and I put you down in the presence of all the people around, I am going to proclaim that you were once lost. You had chosen to separate yourself. But we as a community say, no, 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 no. This is the family of God. You might wander by choice, or you might wander because of temptation and what it has done in your life. But you have a shepherd who comes finding those that wander. That we are wandering people, that we are a fickle bunch, but we have a God who searches, who finds the lost. And David ends the psalm this way. Surely goodness and mercy will follow all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That you might wonder and you might go away because of what you've done or maybe what's been done to you. That you might think that you are excommunicated, not worthy of being in the flock anymore. But the truth is, you have a shepherd who is telling you a different story. Reminding what you've decided and what you have declared. And telling you the truth, that your residence, that you're not a resident that is kicked out by your actions, but you are a son and daughter of the Most High, and you will dwell. That word dwell is so important because it means that you settle. It means you put down roots. I mean, you get comfortable and relaxed because you know this is home. This is, as we enter into the Psalms, this is the shepherd. I don't know, you know, or maybe you want, but it's the one that you desperately need. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you have been speaking to us every moment of this day. So we open our ears to hear you, our minds to hear you, to receive. What are you saying to us this morning? Holy Spirit, what is a word that's for us? Not for our jobs, not for our children, not for our spouses, but what word is for us this morning? Shepherd, what are you saying to us? The sheep hear his voice. Holy Spirit, we are your people and you are our God. Be with us. Amen.